right? Winter was 70, but spring is snowy. If you haven't lived in Iowa long, this is what you have to look forward to. Hallelujah. Confused weather, but it is a great place to live with wonderful people. Amen? Amen. The thing I love the most about Iowa is the people. I love the people. The Midwest people are like none others. I've lived in the South, I've lived on the West Coast, and now I've lived in the Midwest, and I'm thankful for what God is doing. I thank you for the genuineness of people in the Midwest. Amen? Amen. If you like yourself, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Some of y'all should have said amen. You can't love others until you love yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. But don't just love yourself. That's selfish. Hallelujah. And your neighbor don't like it, and we don't either. Hallelujah. Good morning. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. I just wanted to say a few things before I start this morning to get into God's Word. If you have your Bible app, will you go ahead and open that in your phone? Go ahead and open that up, your Bible app. It's a YouVersion app. If you have a different Bible app, I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to everybody else who has the YouVersion app. If you open up your app, you'll go to on the bottom there, you click on More. It's usually in the bottom right-hand corner. You click on that, you'll find Events. And on the events, you'll find this event here if you want to follow along with today's notes. I follow along as best as I can, but I try to be led by the Spirit of God as often as I can. And if I feel like God says, chase that rabbit, chase that squirrel, I do. I do. I chase it. I find its family. We hang out for a little bit, and then I get back on track. Hallelujah. Amen? People laughing have been here long enough to know that is true. But you go to More, right, in your app, More, Events, Save. You want to save the event, otherwise it'll disappear here pretty soon. And then if you write notes in there, you want to save your notes as well. I just wanted to say a few things before I get into our trauma series. Last week, if you were here, wow, incredible, anointed. So many people healed, so many set free. If you're on Facebook community page or if you are connected to the church in different ways, you know that so many people were healed. If you were healed, set free, or God did a work in your life, raise your hand to heaven last week. Amen. Raise your hand. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Church, look at that. One time, one service. God wants to do more and more and more. I just want to tell one testimony real quick that wasn't on Facebook because this person doesn't have any social media. I don't even know if he has an email. He might, but he doesn't check it. Hallelujah. Bob Jenkins, right? I didn't ask your permission. Sorry, but forgive me now, brother. I'll meet you at the altar after church. Hallelujah. Please forgive me. But I just want to tell a quick testimony of what God did last week. So there was a lot of people praying. There was prayer teams all up here. God was moving in miraculous ways. There are people healed of depression, set free from mindsets. They were healed in their bodies. There were knees that were healed, backs that were healed, necks that were healed. There's just so much. I can't even list it all. But I wanted to lift this one thing up to you. I wondered if we could pray as a church before I get into the word by faith, right? Faith moves mountains. Amen. And a lot of us face mountains, but this man is facing a mountain physically that none of us, probably in the house here, have ever had to face. So Bob was getting prayer, and a lot of the kids were praying for him on last Sunday, which was awesome. And they were praying for his knee. His knee really, really hurt. He's had a lot of different parts replaced. He's Robo Bob, and new nickname, hallelujah, Robo Bob. It just came to me. I don't know if that was the Lord or that was probably totally me. But he was getting his knees prayed for because one of his knees really, really hurt. By the time they were done praying, he wasn't only relieved of pain, he was jumping up and down saying, I'm free of pain. And then, amen? But the Bible says and tells us that the Father gives us good gifts. Even if us evil people, if we want to give bread, we don't give, you know, God's not going to give us a stone, right? If we ask for bread, when the children of God ask the Lord for something, he is a good gift giver. So Bob might have got prayer for his knees, but he was delivered and healed from more than that. And I believe God is doing a work on him even this morning, and I wanted to lift our faith this morning, lift our prayers, and believe this. So Bob was a boxer. He was an amateur boxer for many years. He's won a lot of accolades. He's won a lot of fights, and he is one of my bodyguards. And so I'm so thankful. You see the pause on that guy? It's like, right? One punch, I'd probably be out, but Bob's got my back. Amen. I love it. So, but he has won many, many championships as an amateur with two eyes. He's also won with one eye. Because in one of his fights, he got hit and it dislocated your retina, correct? Dislocated in 1977. 1977, one of Bob's eyes does not connect to his retina, and he cannot see. He got prayer last Sunday, and then last Sunday, they were praying for his knees, and then he wrote Michael Sedlicek, who's the head of our prayer ministry here at First Open Bible, and he was texting him, and then Michael sent all his texts to me, and I don't know if you asked that permission too, so we'll probably see you at the altar with us. But that's all right. I knew Bob would be all right with that, but he was writing, "Hey, brother, I was driving home. I was driving home, and out of that eye, I saw a little bit of light." Bob told me later, he said, "I was walking in my house, in my apartment, and I saw a mirror, and I saw some shadows and light out of that eye." Church, let me tell you, God wants to heal, but he's also the God of miracles. Okay? Now, I believe for miracles. I do. I've actually seen miracles in my own life in front of me before. And I could tell testimonies and testimonies of miracles and signs and wonders and healings that have taken place. But that would be a miracle. That wouldn't be a healing. That would be a miracle healing. So Bob, will you stand to your feet, please? Will you reach your hands to heaven before we get into the word? Somebody next to you, are you okay if somebody lays hands on your eye? Michael, will you do that? You're close enough. Right? Gently, hallelujah. He got knocked out with a punch, but may the Holy Ghost punch you now and knock it back into place. Lift up your prayer language, church, if you can pray in tongues, if you can pray right now. We're going to pray. By the power and by the blood of Jesus, by the stripes of Jesus, we claim healing right now. God, we pray for a supernatural miracle. There is faith in this room to do something miraculous. God, I thank you for what you've done. He has already started to see light, but his desire since 1977 is to see with that eye again. Father, we ask for a miracle. Not because anything special about us, but we have faith to believe that you're a healing God, that you're a miracle working God. And I just ask right now, by the power of Jesus, heal him supernaturally right now. God, let him see out of the blind eye. You have done it in your word and you've done it before. May you do it again right now in the name of Jesus. This church lifts him up. We love him. He's part of our family, but he's a child of the living God. Right now, by the stripes of Jesus, like in Isaiah and the New Testament, by the stripes of Jesus, Bob, you are healed. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Bob, look out of that eye. Look out of the eye, Bob. You see anything? You see me? You see any light? You see light? Amen. All right, church, let's pray again. Father, I thank you for the light that he sees now, but we ask for more. We ask for more. Thank you for what you've done, but God, we want more. We ask for more. Spirit of the living God, right now, supernaturally, attach that retina to his eye, God. May you supernaturally, as we were cutting off things this morning, I pray that you attach things to Bob right now. May his retina attach to his eye right now and to his brain. May you work a miracle in him, God. May he see again, God. That would be amazing. I know for a fact, if you make his eye see again, there'll be a testimony on his lips that he will tell every single person he sees. God, I know it, and we will too, Father. We just thank you for what you've done, and we pray that right now, heal him. I'm reminded in your word, it even says this very hour there was a healing. So I pray that this very hour before we're out of church, may you attach that retina in the name of Jesus. We have faith. We have faith. We have trust. In Jesus' name, amen. How is it, Bob? How is it? How is it? Cover that other eye up, brother. Yeah, no, not the good one. Cover the good one. Not, yeah, he's like, "Oh my goodness, hallelujah." No, wrong eye, brother. Amen. Can you see me? He sees more light. Amen. Amen. We'll keep praying for you, brother. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Father, we want miracles. It says in God's word, in the last days, there will be miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen? There'll be miracles, signs. Has anybody ever seen a miracle like the doctor says will never happen, or it's physically or chemically impossible? Has anybody ever seen a miracle? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Amen. I knew you were praying. I knew you were praying. Amen. Those who haven't, get ready to see one. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Yes, sir. You got a word from the Lord. We got to speak into this mic so people can hear about it. Okay? Amen. Amen. I hope you don't need forgiveness after this. Hallelujah. Okay. Speak
this,
it.
This morning I was laying in the bed and I felt that the Holy Spirit was telling me that some people think that when he does things, it's like a drive-through at McDonald's or something. Yes. Well, it's not a drive-through.
Come on.
It's not a drive-through. You know, it's just like a crock pot. Things are cooking, and God is moving, and we're moving with it. And I
Amen.
Praise God because I am healed. Amen. I praise God that I am healed, and I will see the results because
Amen.
God is good and he's faithful.
Amen. 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 I like crock pots, but when they're on there too long, they get burnt, Bob. 1977's enough, brother. Enough. Amen. But you're right. You're dead on, right? We can't just tell God what to do. He is sovereign. He is sovereign. What we have to do, and a lot of times, why does God heal some and not heal others? Well, that's not for us to determine. The Bible doesn't say that we get to pick and choose. God is sovereign, but what we do is we pray, we believe, and we keep praying. That's what we do. That's what the Bible says. We keep praying, we keep praying, we keep praying. And sometimes we act like that persistent woman who just keeps coming to the king, keeps coming to the king, keeps coming to the king, keeps coming to the king. And the king's like, okay, take what you need, take what you have to have, and go, right? Praise God. God, we are going to keep on keeping on with Bob. I thank you for crock pots, but God, we want a Big Mac. Come on now. Hallelujah. Kill the calories in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. Thank you, church. I'm going to keep believing it. I'm going to keep believing it. Bob and I have prayed for his eye. I've been here 10 and a half years. We've prayed for it all those years, and I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing. I want it. I want it. I know he does too. And if God's attaching things, something has to be attached to see light. Something has to be attached. So may there be more, right? Because if your retina has nothing, you can't see anything. If it's completely detached, but God is weaving and moving things and putting them in place. Amen, 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 amen. Some would say that's dangerous to say from the pulpit, Pastor. But you know what? It better be dangerous. We're supposed to live a little bit dangerous. If you don't live by faith, then you're not really living by danger. You're not living by risk. The way that you know you're living by faith is you take risks. If you're not taking risks, you're not living by faith. Amen? Rest of y'all like, oh. Yeah, for real. That's true. Read one story in the Word of God that somebody didn't miraculously have some sort of risk in their faith, right? We don't read about a bunch of people who do nothing and worry all the time. No. Right? There was worry in the Bible, and I'm thankful for that because it tells us what to do when we worry and who we give the worry to. But it also says, get out of your seat, go into the world, and preach the good news. Go into the depths of the world. Every nation, every tribe and tongue will know Jesus because he's sending his people. He's sending them into the darkest corners, into the hardest places. He's sending them into places that maybe you wouldn't have favor, but because God's Spirit is on you, you will have favor, and you will go places, you will do things that will blow your mind because the Spirit of God is leading you. Don't go out of pride. If you go out of pride and you tell God what to do, you're out of line, and guess what? Not much is going to happen. If anything, see, the Bible says that happened, and a bunch of people were naked, and they had to run, right? We got beat up by the demons. Yeah, because you didn't go by the Spirit of God. You went by your own pride. Right? We try to cast out these things in your name. But you got to be led by the Spirit of God, because when you go with the Spirit of God, crazy, incredible, amazing things happen. Over and over and over, be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if you're nervous to do something, welcome to faith. Right? If you're not nervous to do something, maybe you're not stepping out far enough. Come on. This has nothing to do with what I'm preaching on, maybe a little bit, but I'm just feeling this from the Spirit of God this morning. Hallelujah. What time is it? Okay, we're good. Good. Hallelujah. Okay, hey, this month's series is titled Trauma. Experience Healing and Wholeness. Church, God desires to release wholeness and healing. He does. But often this healing is obstructed by unhealed wounds from painful past experiences. Many people are living with the spirit of trauma. When the spirit of trauma is broken and the truth of God is realized, healing can break through finally. Jesus came to give us life, and he came to give us life to the fullest. Church, you got to open up your minds, open up your hearts, open up your souls right now and allow God to heal you completely and wholly. Before I get into God's word, I want to give you some resources this morning. I'll give you some resources. These are resources for mental and soul care. A lot of times, you know what? Revival's messy, and so is trauma. Okay? Sometimes we're stirring some stuff up, and we need more. God is healing us, but we need more. We need somebody. See, discipleship is when you walk hand in hand, arm in arm, leg in leg, and you walk together through things of life. And sometimes you need people to help you because you fall down and you need picked up. Some of y'all get drugged because you're falling behind and people need to drag you, and some people want to push you. But most of all, people want to help try to carry you when you can't do it on your own. Amen? And we have some resources for you that I haven't given up to this point, but I want to give it this morning and possibly on Easter next week as well. We have an after hours here at church. We have an after hours phone number. This is for emergencies and for prayer, okay? It's not for other things. It's for emergencies and prayer, but very important. This is whenever the office is closed. You can call this number for emergencies and prayer. And the phone goes along with, and it's with somebody either on the board or the staff here at church. So somebody in leadership will have the phone. And if you're hearing this, and you're on leadership and staff, make sure you continue to keep that phone on. Amen? And call back when you get a voicemail. This is the phone number. It's 319-899-1545. We've given this out a bunch of other times, and maybe you've heard it, but it's 319-899-1545. We also have a group of trained Stephen ministers here at First Open Bible, and I was going to point out the person, but she's in the eagle's nest. Miss Carolyn, will you go ahead and look at her in the back there? Hey, she looks like a princess. Princess wave. Hey, there it is. That's beautiful. You're really good at that. Have you been practicing? She's the head of our Stephen ministry. And these are trained people that will walk with you through life events, good, bad, ugly, whatever it is. They're not counselors, but they're there to listen. They're there to help. They're there to pray, bring God's word. Sometimes, you know, you go through some really hard things, and all you need in your life is somebody just to listen, right? Sometimes they're just there to listen. So if you have, we have some people on standby. If you have a need for a Stephen minister to walk with you through something that you're going through, please find Miss Carolyn. She won't be up there after service. She'll be down here, but go ahead and find her sometime. We also have a group of trained prayer team members here at First Open Bible. Michael Selichek, put your hand in the air like you care. Hey, okay. He is the head of our prayer ministry, and you'll see a lot of prayer groups this morning before I'm done preaching. That'll be up here as well. And that's an opportunity as well to get more prayer if you need more prayer, or reach out to Michael and he can kind of disperse the prayers needs to the people that need it. And then this isn't a Christian resource, but this is a very important one. There is a 24/7 suicide hotline number. If you are battling that or you know someone that is, the number you call is simple. It's 988, not 911. That's a medical emergency. This is a different kind of emergency. 988. Okay? You might need to give that out to somebody. There's somebody you can call, you can text. There's somebody that's trained on standby to receive those calls. We also have some professional Christian counseling in our city. There's two companies that I've referred many, many people to, and Keys to Living is one of them. It's a Christian counseling organization that's here in the city, and also House of Hope. And the House of Hope is very helpful, especially if you're a female. They center around a lot of female things that ladies go through. And then the last one I want to give for resources, Christian Pregnancy Support Center, Bridgehaven. Bridgehaven not only helps with Christian pregnancy support, but also helps with abortion. If you walk through it or know someone who has, they have counselors to help you walk through that. And they're Christians. They love you. They are an excellent, excellent, excellent company. And they're a great resource. So those are some resources. If you heard me, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, church, let's get into the word. Church, welcome. Oh, if you have any questions on any of that, call the church office. We'll be glad to give you those resources. And we will be able to tell you that again, or you can watch this again later on and listen to what I gave. All right, this is Palm Sunday. Everybody bring your palm. Right, wherever he's at, Mike. It's not, there you are in the back. Hey, yeah, you did that many years ago. I can't get that out of my head, brother. You almost derailed me, but now we're using it. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned. Just play it. Oh, don't be that kind of Christian, right? Spinning things your own way. Hallelujah. But it was funny. Hey, okay. 1 week until Easter. Hallelujah. Amen. Church, do me a favor. If you're a regular attender next week, scoot over. Make room. And if they're in your spot, repent. It's not your spot, okay? You're in my spot. Oh, wow. Yeah, they're really going to come back now. Are you going to do that in heaven? You're going to get there and Paul's going to be like, hey, that's my spot. Get out of my spot, right? No. Be sensitive to who's coming next week, man. It's going to be awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So Palm Sunday, this marks the first day of Holy Week. Now, Holy Week starts with a humble procession when Jesus entered into the holy city on a donkey. The crowd was chanting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The next day, Jesus was flipping over tables at the temple. He was calling out the ones who've turned God's house into a den of thieves. Jesus proclaimed God's house will be a house of what, church?
Prayer.
Prayer. Amen. Then the angry religious leaders were questioning and trying to trap Jesus. Later on in Holy Week, Jesus goes on to prophesy and proclaim what the days to come will look like and what will happen to his followers. Then Jesus washes the feet of his disciples and has the Lord's Supper with them on Thursday. Then they head out to pray in a garden. And then comes the kiss of betrayal and an arrest. After that, two men of power question Jesus, and Pilate washes his hands of it all. Next, the release of Barabbas and the denials of Peter and a brutal and horrific beating, a mocking robe and a painful crown of thorns, to next be carrying a cross to his crucifixion. Darkness in the land. Hope seems to be lost, and the words are spoken. It is finished. This causes an earthquake and a torn sacred veil. And Jesus' body was laid in a borrowed tomb, finishing with a long and silent Saturday to a triumphant resurrection Sunday. Welcome to Holy Week, church. Welcome to the week that changed history. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark 21 tells us in verses 8 and 9 on Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago, this is what happened in history. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road as well. The crowds that went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Church, Jesus knew of the pain that was coming. Jesus knew that Hosanna on this day will be followed up by curses, betrayal, great pain, and horrific trauma just days later. I got good news. Jesus heals people from their trauma because he faced his trauma first. His perfect love was shown by his perfect sacrifice. Now, the literal Greek meaning of Hosanna is, and we heard it this morning, save now. The word spoken on this day was far more than just a cry of adoration. Essentially, it was a plea from the oppressed people to their Savior for deliverance. Save us. Save us now from our pain. Save us now from our oppression. Save us now from our sufferings. Save us now from our sickness. Save us now from our brokenness. Save us now from our bondage. Save us now from our trauma. Save us. Hosanna. 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 Church, what do you need Jesus to save you from? Hosanna. 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 Now, Palm Sunday, this day, is the beginning of Christ's final journey to the cross. He knew the depths of the meaning of this saying that we say today. No pain, no gain. Jesus, the Son of God, was willing to not avoid pain, church. Jesus, instead, he leaned into his pain. He understood that through his pain, there'll be salvation for the lost. There'll be freedom for the captives. There'll be healing for the sick and wholeness for the ones that are broken. Without pain for the Messiah, there would be no gain for the lost and the traumatized. Now, did you know this? I'm sure you did. There'll be great pain and suffering in your life, and you're going to endure many wounds when you choose to follow Jesus. Now, there's trauma that you're going to endure in life for the mere fact that we live in a broken world. But there's trauma that you'll endure because we choose to give our lives to Jesus. Romans 8:17-18 tell us this. And since we are his children, we're his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. Praise God. But if we're to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. Yet what we suffer now, come on now, is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Oh, death, where is your sting? Hallelujah. Now, the New Testament teaches us that we will endure hardships, persecution, and suffering when we choose to follow Jesus. I just want to let you know, church, the Christian church, we don't know what suffering is. Oh, somebody was mean to you on Facebook. Oh, no, they don't like Jesus. Oh, they don't want to hear the gospel. Oh, they called you a cotton-headed ninny muggins. Whatever, okay? Stepped away from the pulpit saying that one. Okay. Church, has been prophesied that suffering is coming. There's persecution coming that we don't even know about yet. The Bible says that when we choose to follow Jesus, these are things we're going to walk through. We're going to join him in his sufferings, but church, we're also going to join him in his glory as well. Let me tell you something. There's purpose in your pain. There's purpose in your pain. There's purpose in Christ's pain as well. The purpose of your suffering is to draw you closer to God. The purpose of his suffering was to give you a hope in yours. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Save now, save now, save now. Jesus is our hope, and he is our salvation, and he is our deliverance. Jesus is our healing, and he is the provider of wholeness. Let me ask you some questions this morning, church. Does anybody in the house feel like they're under fire? Does anybody in the house feel weary from the many wounds of life? Maybe somebody in here, in the house today or online right now watching, you feel like giving up and you feel hopeless. I want to read you some scripture God gave me this week. It's in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Let me stop right there. Look around. You're surrounded by witnesses of the life of faith. There ain't a soul in here that got it perfect, but everybody's striving for the King. Everybody's striving to be free. Everybody's leaning in their faith to walk through some things and get delivered through some things, to see freedom and wholeness in their life and the ones around them. Everybody in the house today is not perfect, but they're serving the perfect one. We're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses. And when we join heaven, the crowd gets a lot bigger. So church, amen. So what do? Let's strip off every weight that slows us down. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Verse 2. Now how do you do this? You do this by keeping your eyes on Jesus. Right? This morning we had pre-service prayer. Rick, I think it was you that brought that up. Blinders, I'm going to say that. Sometimes God wants to put Holy Spirit blinders on you because you're so busy looking around when he wants you to focus forward. He wants you to focus forward. Where are you going, not where are you at right now? Come on now. He's going to put Holy Spirit blinders on you, not that you're ignoring the things that are going on, but that you can focus on the right things so you can deal with the things that are going on right now. You keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy that awaited him, he knew what was coming, the joy that was coming. He endured the cross, and he disregarded its shame. Now, you don't see this, but history books and the Word of God, when you dig deep into it, and then even Bible scholars says that he was hung up naked to shame him in front of the world. Jesus. But because he disregarded its shame, now he's seated at a place of honor beside God's throne at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says he's interceding for us. Let's keep reading in Hebrews 12. This is verse 3. Think of all the hostility. I looked up that word. It means malice, bitterness, unkindness, wrath, ill feeling, hatred, and unfriendliness. Think of all the hostility that Jesus had to endure from sinful people. When you think about that, then you won't become weary and you won't give up. Amen. I want to encourage your heart today. The purpose of Jesus' suffering was to give you a hope in yours. Do not give up. Amen. Don't give up. 2,000 years ago on a Sunday like this one, palm branches were waved and Hosanna was shouted in the streets. All the while the pursuit of Christ was to lean into his pain days later. So that way the Father's will would be done. Jesus' pain in his life had a purpose. The purpose was to give us a hope and a healing in ours. Understand that in following Christ, there may be shouts of Hosanna right now, to moments later experiencing betrayal, hurt, suffering, and a crucifixion of relationships. Why? Because life hurts. People hurt, and trauma is a real thing. But we're called to rejoice in our suffering. Yay! Suffering, woo! Not that we celebrate our suffering and that we have a great time in our sufferings. No, we rejoice by leaning into the pain, recognizing the pain, and bringing the pain to the only one that can heal the pain. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. My wife said on Wednesday night, Sarah said on Wednesday night when she was teaching, she said, quote this, "Becoming aware of our brokenness is the beginning of our healing," end quote. Church, Jesus knows your suffering. For he was also hurt. He was also rejected. He was also betrayed. He was misunderstood. He was despised, and he suffered. But it was all on purpose. Christ's pain brought him closer to his Father. Now, church, not all the pain that you walk through is trauma that you have to hold on to. I'm going to say that again. Church, not all the pain that you walk through is trauma that you have to hold on to. Sometimes the trials in life that you face are to purify you. I know this isn't a popular sermon, but it's biblical. Okay? Sometimes you walk through things to purify you. Sometimes, how can you ever be more like Jesus if you don't walk through things that Jesus walked through? You think that life's going to be perfect all the time and you're never going to have trials and tribulations? That's not even actually biblical. Jesus himself told us we will have trials and tribulations, but we don't have fear when we walk through them because he has overcome the world. He has faced them. He has conquered them, so you can rely on his strength. You can walk through your pain, your sorrows, your brokenness, your sickness, and give it to Jesus because he conquered it. Sometimes you have to face trials in life because they're to purify you. See, in my personal pain and in my personal suffering, I have learned to become a better servant husband, a stronger, more aware father, a tougher and more compassionate pastor, and a more caring and understanding friend. Not because I ran away from life's troubles, but because of all the pain and all the suffering that I've had to face and will continue to have to face, I choose to walk through it with Jesus. Anybody in the house say, that's me too? If that's you, say amen.
Amen.
Anybody want to know what it's like when you don't lean into your personal pain? Don't you look at your neighbor. Don't you look at your neighbor. Let me tell you. When you don't lean into your personal pain or you don't give it to God, you begin to feel very sorry for yourself. You step into a victim mentality, a victim mindset, a victim identity, and you become entitled. You think this, I don't deserve all this. I shouldn't have to walk through all this. I shouldn't have pain. I shouldn't have suffering. Why is God punishing me? I deserve better. When you do this with your pain, you never actually deal with your pain. And you never will grow in your pain. Undealt trauma leads us to denial, no accountability, immaturity, obsessions, broken relationships, escapes, addictions, and you start seeking other people's approval over God's approval. Because of what Jesus had to face in Holy Week, church, we can live different. We're called to live different. And we're empowered to live different. Let me read God's word to you and prove that that is true. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says this. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to a church. And he says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Why? For we know that they will help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope in salvation. And the hope will not lead us to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Church, your trials and your tribulations, when you walk through them with Jesus, the one who's conquered them, the one who can heal you, the one that can set you free, when you start doing that, you'll have endurance. Endurance will be strength of character, and strength of character will give you a hope, a confident hope of your salvation. You will lean into your pain with Jesus. You'll start walking in those sufferings so you can start walking and having his glory. Come on now. God's calling us to walk through our pain with Christ. Why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because some of y'all in here have not been walking through with your pain with Jesus at all. You've been blaming him instead of inviting him. He's here today to tell you, invite me in, watch what I will do. I might not change your circumstance, but I'll change you in it. You'll be able to walk through it. Not only will you be able to walk through it, there'll be a testimony on your lips when you get past it. Come on. God's calling us to walk through our pain with Christ, to join him in his suffering, to join him in the pursuit of God's will for our lives, his hope that leads us to his holiness. The sufferings of life is where we find the true meaning of Hosanna. Save us. Save us. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Church, with what you've gone through or what you're going through right now, have you asked God how he wants to heal you in it and use it for his glory? If you haven't, that's okay. This isn't to condemn you. This is an invitation to do it today. Do you believe that God wants to turn your trauma into a testimony? Do you believe God wants to turn your trauma into a testimony? Church, do you believe that God wants to take your trauma right now and turn it into a testimony?
Yes.
That's better. If you let him, he will. If you won't, he won't. Right, this is revelation. Revelation from God's word. No, that's just simple. How many of us expect things to take place and we never do anything to actually put that expectation into work, right? We sit, we soak, we wonder. God says, get up, test me, right? Get up, see what I will do. Put your faith in your mouth. Put your faith in your hands. Put your faith in your feet. Put your faith in me and see that I will move mountains. You don't read a story in any of God's word. Nowhere, nowhere do you see where people just don't have faith, right? We read stories after faith, after faith. It's like, that's crazy. I can't believe that. If you actually like read it, put yourself like next to them, right? You're their buddy for a moment, right? You're probably thinking what everybody else thought at that time. They're probably a little crazy. That's probably a little wild. I don't know if I'd ever do that. That's not very safe. But see what God did. Through audacious faith of God's followers. See, the sufferings of life oftentimes is where we find the true meaning of Hosanna. Do you believe that Jesus wants to heal you? Do you believe he wants to set you free? Do you believe he wants that to happen to you so you can live in his glory? I do. Jesus took upon his trauma to release us from ours. This morning, we're going to pray that yesterday's trauma will be today's freedom. This morning, we're going to pray that yesterday's sickness is today's healing. There's purpose in your pain, church. Your pain draws you to your knees so you can be closer to God. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Save now. Jesus, heal us now. We remember what you have done. Faith does bring joy. Hallelujah. Turn it off. I'm preaching, not that person. Church, we know that all things are possible to what? Those who go to church. All things are possible to those religious fools. All things are possible to those who sit around. All things are possible to those who complain. All things are possible to those who believe. Belief, 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 belief. I believe, Bob, I believe. I believe. I can't heal you. We can't heal you, but he can heal you. But I believe he will heal you. I stand in that faith that what he did this week will heal you. I believe, I believe, I believe. Because all things are possible to those who mumble. Hallelujah. Who believe, who believe. All things are possible to those
who believe.
Amen, amen, amen. Brent, will you come up? Prayer teams, will you come up and man your station? Bring your communion with you. I want to read a few things before we take communion together, and there's a purpose behind this today, church. Amen. Grab your communion, please. I want to teach you on something here. Amen. Hallelujah. Just waiting for the house to gather together here. I don't want you to miss this. Did you know there's been thousands and thousands and thousands of people who've been healed by just taking communion? You can read it on testimonies, right? A lot of us are like, we wonder, oh, I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, that's called faith. You walk by sight, right? Do you walk by sight? No. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And when we walk by faith, then we see things that our sight couldn't see. Walk by faith. There's been thousands of people that have been healed by taking communion. Now, the healing is not in the elements itself. That is religion. That is dangerous. Church, this is juice, and this is a piece of stale bread, okay? The juice is pretty awful tasting, and the bread is mediocre at best. But I'm thankful for this because it doesn't spill on me and carry it around. And it's not about these elements. The healing comes from the faith in what these elements represent. The healing is not in the elements. See, the Lord's Supper symbolizes everything Jesus did for us at Calvary. The Lord's Supper symbolizes everything that Jesus did on Holy Week. Now, Western religion usually teaches and focuses on one major portion of communion. Do you know what it is? Say it if you know it. I don't want to say it loud, Pastor. You can call me out. You can call me out, Pastor. I'll bail you out. I'll bail you out. And you're going to be like, oh, yeah. Salvation. Every time we do communion, we focus on salvation. That's what Western culture does a lot, which is the most important thing. But this doesn't just represent salvation. Come on, church. Dig a little deeper. Search the scriptures. See, when we partake of the juice, this represents his blood that was poured out for us. We're remembering that Jesus delivered us from sin. He is our salvation. But when we eat this little baby bread, when we eat this bread, it represents his body. We're acknowledging the physical and spiritual trauma that Jesus endured to deliver us from temptation, addiction, worry, fear, poverty, sickness, disease, trauma, every other part of the curse. My wife said last Wednesday night, I have another quote from her, it says this, quote, Jesus doesn't just want your salvation, he wants your full healing. End quote. Christ died not only to save you. Church, he also took a beating to heal you. If you can believe for your salvation, then you could and can and should believe for your healing. For he took the stripes before he took your nails. Hallelujah. Jesus' Holy Week trauma was to give you a hope and a healing. Hosanna. 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 Save now. Heal now. Save now. Deliver us now. Heal us now. Church, we're not receiving communion today as a religious exercise. We're receiving communion today in expectation to receive everything Jesus' sacrifice provided. Jesus' pain had a purpose. The purpose was to give us a hope, a healing, and a freedom. Salvation and healing. Now, typically we read 1 Corinthians and we talk about the night that he broke the bread and the juice and what it represents. If you go further and you read in this, 1 Corinthians 11:28 says this. It says, "That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup." I want to challenge us this morning. Right now, we're going to examine ourselves before we eat the bread and we drink the juice. We're going to examine what parts of us that we need our Savior to heal us. What parts of us, inside of us, do we need our Savior to save us from, deliver us from, heal us? So these prayer teams up here, they're up here for a reason. If you brought a friend today, they're here for a reason. If you brought family today, they're here for a reason. If you came alone today, it's for a reason. This altar is open for a reason. We're going to take communion in just a moment. Brent, I'll probably, is that mic on for you to sing? Yeah? Okay. Feel led to sing what you want to sing. But here in a moment, I want us to just take a moment, right? The Bible says, this is why you should examine yourself. We're going to examine ourselves before we go today and before we take communion. So I'm going to ask this. If you need healed, then be healed. If you need set free, then be set free. Ask the only one that can do that and remember what he did this week. This week, what he did for you and for humanity for all of eternity. I want you to ask somebody here in a moment after you're done examining yourself to pray with you. There's prayer teams up here to pray with you if you want prayer. If you want to take, I want you to take communion with them. Or you can take it with yourself, or you can take it with your spouse or your friend that came, or you can take it by yourself. But here in a moment, we're going to make this place an altar. This is an altar. And at the altar is where you get altered. It's where you get healed. It's where you get set free. It's where the Holy Spirit comes upon you in a supernatural way because you've surrendered, you've submitted, and you remember who's in charge. So Brent's going to sing, and I want you just to do that alone or with somebody next to you. If you want to grab somebody, come up. They're going to take communion with you. They're going to pray for you. And there's a whole bunch more communion over here if you need to do it again, prayer teams, with someone else. But I want to pray for us, and then we're going to do that. Father in heaven, worthy is your name. Hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come and your will be done. Just like it's happening in heaven, may it happen here on earth. We give you this bread. We give you this juice. And we remember. We thank you for our salvation. If there's anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior, come to one of these prayer teams. They're going to lead you in a salvation prayer. It starts with a prayer. You give your heart to God. You give your life. You surrender to him. And you won't be destined for hell anymore. You'll be destined for heaven. But God, we thank you for our salvation. And we lift up our healing and our deliverance this morning. You are, it's not in a formula. It's not in a holy water. It's not in these, it's in you, Jesus. It's in your presence. It's in your truth. It's remembering what you did on the cross for us, what you did before you went to the cross for us. It's remembering that there's going to be a silent Saturday. It's going to be dark. It's going to be scary, but Sunday's coming. Resurrection is coming, for our Savior is alive. So I pray that right now, what's alive in us is your presence right now, Holy Spirit. everything that's dead, everything that's broken, everything that's sick, everything that's not in place, everything that is out of order, everything that is a bad mindsets, everything, God, everything, make it right, right now. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. And by the nails on the cross that nailed every sin, every shame, everything you said, everything you did, everything you thought, it is still on that cross, and there's an empty tomb. You are free, and free indeed. We love you. We thank you. We spend these few moments remembering, and I pray for a supernatural healing as we take these elements. Heal cancer. Heal sickness. Heal chronic pain, chronic thoughts, depression. Heal it. Heal it. Heal it right now, God. Heal it, Jesus. Heal them. Heal them, God. You love them. Heal it. We love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Take time, church.